Shalom, this is Rabbi Paul Saul from Congregation Shuv Yisrael in West Hartford, Connecticut. And today I would like to share with you a few thoughts from Pekudim, the last chapter of the book of Shemot and the conclusion to Israel's Exodus story and building of the Mishkan in the wilderness. When I was a boy in the 1960s, my two favorite cartoons were the popular shows, The Flintstones and The Jetsons. While Hanna-Barbera Studios produced both, The Flintstones were the modern Stone Age family, while The Jetsons were the Space Age family of the future. Ironically, though, both families were tongue-in-cheek reflections of 1960s lifestyle and values. The Flintstones had all of the 60s lifestyle expectations with Stone Age veneers. Their stone-wheeled cars would roll up to the drive-in restaurant so that they could order a Bronto burger. Their humble abode in the town of Bedrock resembled the low-cost post-World War II housing which accompanied the suburban sprawl of the 50s and 60s. Even their appliances, such as garbage disposals and hair dryers, ran on the power of prehistoric-looking animals. The Jetsons, on the other hand, had flying cars, excessive gadgetry, and robotic servants to help ease their life in cloud-scraping high-rise apartments. Almost prophetically, every time-saving convenience had a screen accompanied by robotic voices that sounded like alien invaders in 60s sci-fi movies. Just like the Flintstones, the Jetsons sported 60s-style hairdos and reflected the aspirations and mores of the decade. The women did not work, and the men did everything possible to avoid work. Though the Flintstones represented the blue-collar family and the Jetsons the white-collar family, their mode of operation and goals were identical. So, is there a lesson that can be gleaned by observing the relationship between the Flintstones and the Jetsons? I think there is. And I believe it is very profound. When we speak of what was or what can be, we can only reflect on what we have already known and have already experienced. We reconstruct the past and reframe the future based upon experience of the present. Could this be the reason that Hashem asked Israel to erect the Mishkan in the wilderness? Did the Creator want Israel to understand what it meant to be truly creative? Is it just possible that he was teaching them precisely what it meant to be co-creators, junior partners in the slow and arduous process of completing the design of creation? Is this why the better part of the second half of the book of Shemot contains instruction and narrative related to the building of the Mishkan? Well, let's just consider some of this voluminous material. First, I think it's worth exploring the heptadic structure, that is, structures based upon matrices of sevens, which are in the Mishkan accounts. This structure is indicative of the connection between the Mishkan and the order and process by which Hashem created the world. After 6 days of preparation, Moses enters the cloud that contains the divine presence on Sinai. This is found in Exodus 24:16. Moses is then given the instructions from the Creator concerning the specifics of the Mishkan construction in seven separate speeches. Note the seven. Each of them is distinguished by this formulaic introduction, Hashem spoke to Moses, or Hashem said to Moses. This can be found in Exodus 25, 1, 30, 11, 17, 22, 34, and 31, 1, and 31, 12. The seventh speech culminates with God's instructions for Shabbat observance in chapter 31, verses 12 through 17, punctuated then by the divine decree of death for those who violate it. The seventh speech is followed by the account of the golden calf and the ensuing chaos in Israel's camp, which brings death and division in the ranks. After Moses pleads with God for the people in Exodus 33, the tablets of the covenant are reissued in Exodus 34. The actual building of the Mishkan begins in Exodus 35, initiated by a restatement of the Shabbat commands in chapter 35, verses 2 through 3. So the account of the Mishkan building continues through Exodus 40 with continual references to the work being done or completed as Hashem had commanded Moshe. This phrase is most prominent in the last chapter of the account, where it's repeated, note this, 7 times. The heptatic structure is not only a literary clue that the Mishkan belongs to a covenant of recreation, but it's also part of a sacred drama that Israel performed each and every day, thereby making God's purposes for them part of their DNA. By acting out a new present reality, Israel began the process of reconstructing the perfect past and reshaping a bright future. A future where they see themselves as a kingdom of priests committed to recapturing Hashem's initial design for creation. If failed reliance upon the Creator allowed chaos to ensue and wreak havoc upon the fragile creative order, then obedience to the Creator will inevitably restore the creation to its intended well-being and shalom. When Israel builds the Mishkan according to the covenantal design of God, the glory of Hashem then, which had resided in a cloud outside of Israel's camp, takes residence in the Mishkan following its completion. So we learn that when we participate in Gemar Tikkun, the final repair, the light of Hashem will fill all of the earth. Psalm 78:69 states, "He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever." We're given then a prophetic glimpse into the glorious future through the work, the sacrifice, and the ascension of Messiah Yeshua, who transcends the past, present, and future. In Hebrews 9, verses 24, it states, "For Messiah did not enter the holies made with hands, counterparts of true things, but into heaven itself now to appear in God's presence on our behalf." The Mishkan does more than complete the cosmic design. It effectively reclaims creational intentions from the disruptive forces of both chaos and human sin. And it reestablishes the Creator's primordial hopes. So, isn't it amazing what you can learn from cartoons? This is Rabbi Paul Saul. I hope that you've found this this drash thoughtful and thought-provoking. I hope you've enjoyed it. And for more like this, please go to umjc.org.